Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. We also ask that as you listen, you prayerfully consider coming alongside Ware's Valley Ranch and supporting this ministry to children in crisis through a tax-deductible donation. To find out more about how you can help, call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit our website, pastorwood.org. Thanks again for listening. If you want to know what these two chapters are ultimately about, it's about the difference between worship and what amounts to witchcraft. Worship is when we come to God and say, "Have your way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Witchcraft and false religion is about when we try to find a way to manipulate God so that we're in control. We want to be God. We want to be our own God. We want to do our own thing. We want to have our kingdom come and our will be done, but we need some help for that. So we're going to try and find, what are the buttons we have to push? What are the words we have to say? What are the things we have to do? Just tell me what I have to do and I'll do it, because I want to get God to do what I want. That, sadly, is what most people think about Christianity. They think it's about learning the right words. I cannot count the number of people who have said to me over the years, "I'm not sure that when I prayed the prayer, I said the right thing. I'm not sure that I really meant it as much as I should have. I'm not sure I understood enough. I want to be sure that I've done whatever I have to do in order to be saved." And sometimes I want to say, "Well, have you been circumcised?" Because that was the problem in Galatia. They were told, "If you really want to belong to God, you got to get circumcised, gentlemen." And the Apostle Paul writes, he says, circumcision means nothing. But if you do circumcision in order to try to get God to accept you, you're cut off from Christ. If you're trying to earn your salvation, you're lost. If you think there's something you can do to clean up your act, I remember praying with a young woman years ago. When I was in high school, she was in college. There was a little college in the town where I lived. And I was sharing the gospel with a group of folks, and she was emotionally moved, but she said, I can't do this. I can never be a Christian. And I said, "Well, why not?" And she turned to her friends and she said, "You can tell them if you want." And she walked out of the place. And I said, "Okay." She said, "You could tell me. What's the problem?" And they said, "Well, she smokes a lot of pot." I said, "Okay, well, y'all excuse me. I'm going to go talk to her." So I ran out of the gymnasium where we were having our initial conversation. I caught up. Her name was Amy. I said, "Amy, wait up." I said, "Your friend said that the reason you think you can't be a Christian is because you smoke pot." And she said, "That's right." And I said, "Well, you don't understand the gospel." So I spent about another hour, hour and a half talking with her about the Lord. And she said, "I want to receive Christ." And I said, "Wonderful." And she said, "But before I do, come on outside." I went out of the, now at this point we were in the cafeteria, went outside into the parking lot. And reached into her blouse, let us say, and pulled out her stash. And she said, what do I do with this? Now, do people who come to Jesus need to repent? Yes. Was she willing to repent? Yes. She was wanting to repent. But God spoke to me and through me when she held up her pot. And I said, you need to put it back. And she said, what? And I said, put it back. And so she put it back, and I said, here's why. After you give your life to Christ, you're going to discover that it's not just pot that needs to go away. There's going to need to be a lot of stuff changing, but you need to change because of what Jesus has done for you, not think that you've cleaned up your act enough for him to love you and save you. So I said, that's why I told you to put it back. I said, now, just as you are, I want you to give your life to Christ. So she prayed, she received the Lord, and I said, now, what do you want to do with that pot? And she said, I want to get rid of it. And I said, praise the Lord. So she did. But here's the thing. Anybody who thinks they can clean up their act and then now God will accept me has totally missed the gospel. We need to turn from our sin, but not so that he'll love us. We turn from our sin because he loves us. And we know that his ways are best. The reason he says don't do this is not because he wants to spoil our fun. It's because he loves us. And so having yielded our lives to him, we are on a journey that involves change and transformation. He's changing us from the inside out, but we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by him. It's not because you said the right words. I shared with our students last week, I know a guy, an alcoholic attorney, who in desperation, after hearing Billy Graham on television years ago, got down on his knees in his home, and all he knew to pray was, God help. That's all. He knew he needed help, and he knew he couldn't do it himself, and he cried out to the Lord, and God saved him. It's not about the words you say, it's about who you trust. Jesus saves sinners. Amen. That's what it's about.
Folks, with current events, many of us are realizing all the more that our time on earth is temporary. While I have many on my heart that I pray will surrender to Jesus, I'm beginning to get very excited about soon spending forever with him. Can you relate? If you're like many of us who are rethinking our wills, I'd like to ask you to consider leaving a gift to support the kids at Wares Valley Ranch. We have a program called Legacy 145. It's based on Psalm 145:4. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. If participating in something that will pass on the gospel to future generations after you're in heaven interests you, go to wvr.org and click on the icon for Legacy 145. That's wvr.org and click on the Legacy 145 button. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, this guy, Micah, thought, now I've got it made. I not only have these idols, I not only have an ephod, a priestly garment that my priest can wear. You know, I had it fitted for my son, but it fit this Levite fine. I've now got a real Levite. Now I know that the Lord will be good to me since this Levite has become my priest. I found the magic formula. And so then we're introduced to the Danites. Remember, Samson was from the Danites. Here comes a group of the Danites, and they are looking for a place to settle. They stay at Micah's house. They meet his Levite priest. And they say, what are you doing here? And he says, I've got a job. He hired me. I'm his priest. Well, they say, okay, well, since you're a priest, we want you to do some fortune telling for us. Inquire of the Lord and tell us if we're going to be successful in our journey. He didn't inquire of the Lord. He just told him, oh, yes. Look, verse 6 of chapter 18. The priest answered them, go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval. Now, how does he know that? He doesn't. He's a typical hired preacher. He's somebody who, for money and popularity, will say what people want to hear. And so he says, go in peace. You have the Lord's approval. We've got a gazillion of these folks today in churches of various sizes who are glad to say whatever they have to say in order to keep the people happy, in order to make sure that nobody's upset, in order to make sure that everyone feels affirmed. Let me tell you, that's not loving people. I am sick to death of hearing over and over and over that the reason the church changed its position on this sin is because we concluded that even though the Bible does say some of those things you're pointing out, the overriding message of the Bible is love. And we believe that what we need to do is love people. Just love them. Okay. How does that work? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And if you tell somebody with cancer, hey, you don't need to see a doctor, you know, that thing on the side of your neck that's working its way up your face, don't worry about it. You know, lots of people have things like that. It's just a part of life. And you need to accept it. And what you need to do is not see a doctor, not certainly don't let anybody cut on you or give you those harsh chemicals or radiation, you know. I mean, that stuff's, whew, boy, that's tough. What you need to do is every morning you look in the mirror, okay, face it for what it is on your face, face it and say, I am beautiful. I am normal. I am happy. And then go about your business. And if you start to get down or people point it out or make fun of you or anything like that, you just find a mirror, look in the mirror, and give the daily affirmations. And if you'll keep telling yourself that, you can come to our meetings during the week. And on Sunday, we have this guy and we pay him to stand up there and tell all of us, you look wonderful. You look grand. You are good. You are special. Okay? That's what this guy was doing. They say, inquire of the Lord. He didn't have to. He knew what they wanted to hear. And so he told them what they wanted to hear. Go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval. If you read between the lines here and the rest of the chapter, it doesn't really sound like that they had the Lord's approval. When they go against these peaceful people, these unsuspecting people, and wipe them out with the sword and burn their place down, they don't exactly come across, they were successful. Yeah, sorta. I mean, they won the battle. That doesn't mean they were really necessarily winning the Lord's approval. In fact, God's people had been told that they were to go in and wipe out the pagans and be a holy people for him. That's not what happened here. They went and they wiped out a group of unsuspecting, peaceful people, and they moved in and lived like pagans. On the way to destroy that place that they coveted, they had a little stop to make because they had coveted something else. They coveted the priest. They coveted the shrine, idols, the ephod, and they wanted that for themselves. So they stop off at Micah's house on their way to conquer Laish. And look at it in verse 14 and following. Then the five men who'd spied out the land of Laish said to their brothers, "Do you know that one of these houses has an ephod, other household gods, a carved image, and a cast idol? Now you know what to do." So they turned in there and went to the house, and they grabbed the carved image, verse 17, the ephod, the other household gods, and the cast idol, while the priests and 600 armed men stood at the entrance of the gate. When these men went into Micah's house and took the carved image and the ephod and the other household gods and the cast idol, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They answered him like a pastor search committee. Okay? Please get this. "Be quiet. Don't say a word. Come with us and be our father and priest. Isn't it better that you serve a tribe and clan in Israel as priest rather than just one man's household?" Then the priest was glad. And he took the ephod and the other household gods and the carved image and went along with the people. Great career move. Woo-hoo! Every pastor search committee that I ever dealt with across the years always pretty much took this approach. Listen, we'll keep this quiet, okay? We don't want people to know what's going on. But when we come to visit your church, because we all need to come, we're going to spread out. We're not all going to attend the same service. We'll spread out and be here and there, and people hopefully will just think that we're visiting. But we want to have lunch with you afterwards, okay? We'd like to talk with you. Why? Well, they don't want to mess things up for you there in that church. They want you to be able to make a clean getaway. So, they say, "Don't say a word. Hush. Be quiet. Come with us." Isn't it better for you to be the priest to a whole tribe than just this guy's house? We've got a much bigger building. We've got a much bigger budget. We've got a much bigger staff. Probably 10 years into our ministry here, a church in another state contacted me, and they pursued me in several different places. I went from here to preach in Florida, and they were there too. They showed up, and they wanted to take me to lunch, and I said, "I don't think it's necessary." And I didn't go. I'm so glad that I didn't go to that church, but the Lord had already told me no, because I asked him, "What do you want me to do?" You see, their pitch was this. Big church, big building, big budget. You have a burden for young people? We have thousands of young people in our Christian school. You'll be the chairman of the board. We have a television and radio ministry. You'll be the guy, okay? And you can grow that thing. And the governor goes to our church. That was in another state years ago. That was the pitch. Well, say, "Pastor Wood, I'm so glad that you aren't even tempted by such things." Don't kid yourself. Of course I was tempted. I went down to the soccer field, and I walked around, and I said, "Okay, Father, I work for you. What do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "I want you to stay here." And I said, "Okay, thank you. Praise the Lord." I've since visited that church when I worked for the Billy Graham organization on the My Hope Project. I had an opportunity to be in that church. And man, let me tell you, there was not this much wishing that maybe I should have gone there. It was like, "Thank you, Jesus. Nothing beats obedience. Nothing beats obedience." So, they made their pitch. Verse 20, then the priest was glad. And he takes all this idolatrous stuff with him. And Micah, when he realizes what's happened, rounds up some neighbors and chases them. And when he catches up, as they shouted after them, verse 23, the Danites turned and said to Micah, "What's the matter with you that you called out your men to fight?" He replied, "Hear it, you took the gods I made and my priest and went away. What else do I have? How can you ask what's the matter with you?" You took the gods I made. That's precisely the problem with false worship. If you make your own gods, you're going to forever be having to take care of them instead of them taking care of you. You've got to protect them. They can't protect you. They can't answer prayer. But people, apart from God's regenerating grace, prefer the gods that they have made. They want to hold on to that which is their creation instead of trusting their creator. So, when Micah's life is threatened and his family's lives are threatened, he turns away, seeing that they're too strong for him. And they go on and slaughter the people of Laish and rebuild the city and settle there and name it Dan after their ancestor, their forefather. Verse 30 and 31, then the Danites set up for themselves the idols, and Jonathan, son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests for the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity of the land. And they continued to use the idols Micah had made all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. If you really want to worship God, you could have gone to Shiloh. But they didn't really want to worship God. They wanted their own gods. They wanted something they could manage. They wanted a god of their own design. It is a shock to see who this Levite came from. He's a Levite, but he's not just a Levite. He's a grandson of Moses. The man entrusted by God with the Ten Commandments that says, no graven images. And now, just a couple of generations later, he's still a Levite, he's still a priest, but he's facilitating idolatry. Don't just look for a guy's credentials. Did he go to seminary? Was it a good seminary? The question is he true to God's word? I'm tempted to share some more, but I'll simply say this. I don't care what a person looks like. I don't care what a person sounds like. If they're silver-tongued, they've got a great singing voice, a charming manner, a wonderful smile. If they don't preach the word, they're not representing God well. Don't submit yourself to pastoral authority from somebody who's not true to the word. It's not, well, I'm going to find somebody. If I have to move to Milwaukee, I'm going to find somebody who preaches like Jim Wood. The only thing you need to look for is, are they true to the scriptures? This is God's word. This is God's servant. But God's word judges me. I don't judge it. And I plead with you. You don't need to trust me. You need to trust him. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never lie to you. He will never fail you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Put your trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would please help us to believe your word and obey it. Deliver us from idolatry, substituting our will and our word for yours. Grant, Lord God, that we would believe what you have spoken and do what you say. And we will be careful to give you the praise, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.